Everyone knows what to do when a winter storm's coming, right? You make sure you've got the food you need. Often people are running to the grocery to get milk, bread. Are you as prepared for some other events in your life? For example, with regard to what you believe? You don't have to think about running to the grocery. You can do that automatically. But what about some other events in your life? Are you prepared for those? Do you know what you believe about those events? We have an affirmation of our faith each time. We gather together at Daleville Christian Church so that we know what we believe before things happen. Jesus said, "Storms come up," and it would be good if you had built upon rock, the rock of His Word. Our faith together is expressed in Ephesians chapter 2. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him, that is through Jesus, we both, those who are near and those who are far away, both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. The apostle is speaking in this letter of those who are near and those who are far away, those who were Jews and knew God's word and knew what worship was, but also those who are far away, the foreigners who didn't know God, didn't know the Bible, but Jesus had come for them too. And they both have access to the Heavenly Father by one Spirit. And so they aren't foreigners and strangers, not to God and not to one another, but fellow citizens with God's people, and all together members of God's one household because of Jesus. The scripture reading for today is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to the end of the chapter, verse 42. A report that's often referred to as at the home of Martha and Mary, wherein we read, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. We just heard read verse 38 in chapter 10 of Luke, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. The Bible does not tell us much about Martha and Mary. They are sisters. Is one widowed? John, in his gospel book, says that Lazarus is their brother. Is that the same Martha and Mary? Pretty common names in ancient times. Is it Martha's house? Martha made the invitation. Notice that this same chapter in Luke, chapter 10, began with Jesus sending out 72 disciples ahead of Him, it states. And Jesus gave them instructions. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. So Luke is telling us that this is a part of Jesus' follow-up to the disciples' campaign trail, because He sent the disciples out ahead of Him, and now Jesus Himself goes out. Is this His follow-up visit to Martha and Mary? Well, Luke does not make that clear at all, but he mentions it right after they have Jesus send them out. But as for the report on Martha and Mary, I think that most followers of Jesus get the gist of this report. There are enough different translations of Martha's problem that one can hardly miss the broader meaning. Martha is described in the following way. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." The King James Version says, "Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And here, careful carries its original meaning. You are full of care and not in a good way. Here are some other descriptions. "Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. You are anxious and troubled. You are worried and distracted by many things. You are fretting and fussing." You get the point. Martha is a hot mess and all of her own doing. Most of us can write Martha off as a sort of busybody or just a type A personality, always driven. Kids today would say that Martha needs to chill. If we had a little more sympathy for Martha, or if we knew what Martha knew about what was at stake here while hosting Jesus, a teacher and holy man, we could speak up for Martha and say to those kids who say she needs to chill, "That's easy for you to say." And truth is, we should all have sympathy for Martha because most of us are Martha. What is Martha's problem? Well, that's covered in verse 38. A woman named Martha opened her home to Jesus. Martha doesn't run a bed and breakfast. She's volunteered to take care of Jesus in her home. Jesus isn't just a nice guy who hit the road after college. There's news about Jesus: teacher, rabbi, miracle worker. And now that Jesus is there in her home, it would be best to get down to work to do what you need to do, take care of Jesus. And I haven't even mentioned the whole history and tradition in the ancient Near East about hosting people and how many requirements there are for that. Necessities. The Bible even says the elders should be good hosts, able to host others. Well, Mary doesn't seem to see it that way at all. Maybe Mary figured that Martha made the invitation. Martha can just do the work. This was Martha's plan, not Mary's. Well, maybe. But this whole scenario made me think about Jesus' encounter with other people, generally speaking. How did Jesus meet people? Think about some of the healings. People are brought to Jesus just for healing. Jesus did for other people. People along the road were known to cry out to Jesus. Jesus might ask them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus did, on occasion, get invited to dinner. You might recall with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, it appeared that Jesus got himself invited to dinner. But Zacchaeus did not appear to have an agenda, something that Zacchaeus wanted from Jesus. And neither did Martha or Mary appear to have an agenda. They didn't seem to want something from Jesus, like a lot of other people. But Jesus is going to give them something. Jesus is going to teach them a lesson. We want to remember, though, that we are a society that admires people who can get things done. And as a pastor, I can admit that Jesus gives instructions on what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus even tells a story about sheep and goats, Judgment Day, and the Lord gives his rewards to people who do things, and do things for Jesus. "I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me." So the rewards are for the doers and the servers, as Jesus tells his story. But that day long ago at Martha's house, or Martha and Mary's house, Jesus seemed to be saying only one thing. Listen to me and abide in me. So we can be sympathetic with Martha, who feels pressed to get things done for Jesus. All church people could be sympathetic with Martha. But maybe the message is to all you Marthas out there, it may be past time for some silent prayer. Time to listen to Jesus. There's an old saying among the rabbis, when we have trouble hearing an answer to prayer, one of the old rabbis said, many of us are just not able to bow low enough to hear God speak. We modern people have so many agendas, don't we? We're in a hurry. Computer's still not fast enough. The phone still does things when we don't touch it. 500 television channels, nothing's on. I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry. I'm going to drive and text. Talking on my handheld phone doesn't affect my driving. I can multitask, can everyone? Well, yeah, but not the four things you're trying to do while you're driving. So if God wants my attention, God will have to whack me up the side of the head. Well, friends, God has been known to do that. But why not give God your attention first? Wouldn't that result in fewer headaches? You remember the report on Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. All the time you're waiting for a whack in the head from God, God's waiting for us to sit down and listen. I placed in the sermon notes the ways and methods that the Lord does indeed speak to us. So these are the ways to listen. Just one of them is probably too limiting. We don't want to limit the Lord's communication with us. We want to be open to all the ways that the Lord speaks. And maybe you'll say, but that means I'll need to learn several ways to listen. Yes, that's true. But maybe you're a better listener in the ways you haven't tried yet. Charles Stanley has written a whole book on the subject, Listening to God. It's in your church library. Pastor Charles Stanley states, one of the most important lessons we can learn is how to listen to God. In our complex and hectic lives, nothing is more urgent, nothing more necessary, nothing more rewarding than hearing what God has to say to us and obeying Him. A true conversation, of course, involves both talking and listening. Most of us do better with the talking part in our prayers. And I'm not certain that listening to the Lord is just one lesson. My experience is listening to the Lord is several lessons to learn. Pastor Stanley wrote, you may ask, does the Lord really speak to us today? The Bible assures us that He does. The book of Hebrews opens this way. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, the Word of Jesus, Word of God, Word of the Lord. Our God is not silent. Our Heavenly Father is alive and active. Jesus said, I am working still and my Heavenly Father is working still. He speaks to us individually and in a way that we can hear Him. Now, some folks get the idea that the Lord's only talking about salvation. Well, that's only the first topic. And when you begin to follow Jesus, the Lord has a lot more to say, a lot more. Pastor Stanley, again, God is serious about His relationship with you. He speaks for your benefit, and it's important for you to listen to Him. Why do you think I pray before the sermon for the Holy Spirit to help us to hear what the Lord wants us to hear? For our benefit. That's me talking. How many times have people referred to a sermon and I'm thinking, I don't recall saying that. Or that isn't what I said. But I never argue about it. The Lord had those folks hear what the Lord wanted them to hear. And always for their benefit. what the Lord has people hear in the sermon is way better than whatever I think I'm saying. Make sense to you? I still attempt the sermon message to have a focus and a point. Let's face it, the human mind is a lot like sheep. If it wanders, it usually wanders into trouble or danger. Let the Holy Spirit shepherd your mind and guide you in the mind's renewal through God's word. Use more than one way to listen to God. Before Jesus got invited to Martha's house, Jesus was asked questions for a man who had read God's word, knew God's word, memorized and could quote God's word, but the man still wasn't hearing God's word. Remember the encounter? On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What's written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So Jesus told him of the Good Samaritan. Hearing and reading the word was part of the man's hearing, but it wasn't all of his hearing. Jesus brought the man understanding, and we pray, brought the man obedience as well. Remember when I told you when this church had steam heat and there were times and nights when I could be here in the sanctuary alone and the furnace would kick in, sending steam through cold pipes and making terrible noises? And I joked that that experience would make you a person of prayer. Now, God can use that experience of the pipes, but that was not the Lord talking to me. In my own experience, there are occasions when I can hear the Lord's presence, but the Lord is not speaking. And there may be some message or communication in those moments. I can hear the Lord's presence, but the Lord is still not speaking. I want you to notice the difference. And how would anyone know? It's called spiritual discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Philippians 1:10. We are called to discern, to be able to tell the difference. We are to test what might be the word of God for you and to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. John's letter states clearly, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." 1 John 4:1. And notice the apostle uses the plural. We don't test alone. We utilize the whole church. Whatever is written and approved, scripture, decisions of the local church, authors, teachers. I've listed for you in the sermon notes the ways the Lord has spoken and still speaks. And as several reports in the Old Testament show us, if you're unsure in what the Lord may be saying, you may ask for clarification or additional clues that the decision or discernment you are making is correct. Jesus had said that we do not live by bread alone, and Mary's probably preparing a meal. The whole phrase Jesus quotes, that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so the question is, are we listening? One more caution. If we criticize Martha too much, she might never open her home to a disciple again. If we praise Mary too much, Mary might sit there all the rest of her life doing nothing. There's a time to do and a time to listen. Presumably, once someone has heard God speak, they are prepared to do what God wants them to do. But be sure to listen to the Lord. Abide in the Lord. It was Jesus' own wish. Jesus had said, "There will never be any fruit if the branch does not abide in the vine." Abide in me. Amen.